B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Maz.
Yeah, Maz, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Maz.
It's time for Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
5 seconds left in the half.
Are you going to kick the field goal? I think they are. Looks like they're going to go in that direction. I guess they're going to go one more snap.
Crowd loves it, as they will give Mahomes a chance to throw a quick pass into the end zone. If it's incomplete again, then they'll settle for the field goal. You know he's going to get it out of his hands quickly.
And it may be funky. It may be underhand lateral.
From the 1 yard line with 5 seconds left in the half, Mahomes throws. Hill catches at the six and gets tackled. Inbounds. And the clock runs out.
Eli.
A very questionable decision by the Kansas City Chiefs. They threw it sideways to Tyreek Hill, and the cheetah could not get in or get out of bounds.
Eli Apple
with a tackle at the one, and the Bengals dodge a bullet as Kansas City drives to the one, runs two plays, and fails to score.
How about it? The Bengals down 11, Dan, just like January 2nd at the half.
As brilliant as Andy Reid is, he overthought it there.
No doubt. No doubt. Outthought himself.
Our number three, I think the Chiefs' loss was the lead story from the weekend, and that was the key play in the game. 5 seconds left, second quarter, no timeouts. Patrick Mahomes throws it behind the line of scrimmage to Tyreek Hill, tackled short of the end zone. No points. Should have been at least 24-10. At that stage, and I think that crawled inside Pat Mahomes' head for the second half. He totally lost confidence. Never mind rhythm and everything else, and the Chiefs absolutely gave one away.
Yeah, they really did blow a massive opportunity here. So now four straight AFC championship games. That streak's going to have to come to an end. I mean, obviously, they're going to still go on deep playoff runs, but hosting this game four straight years, good luck with that going forward. And just with the way that they've been rolling, like, it was all set up for them this year. And you blow that game?
Oh, in the second half. So I think that was 90% on Holmes, only 10% on Andy Reid. That was Cincinnati radio there. Blaming Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid knew the situation. He was running the field goal team out when Patrick Mahomes, according to the CBS crew, turned to the bench and said, I got it. One more. I got it. So Andy Reid trusted Patrick Mahomes there. And maybe that's the 10% of Andy Reid's fault. You know, in let's just say Tom Brady's first 5 years, which is what this is for Patrick Mahomes, right? The first 4 or 5 years of Brady's run. If Tom Brady had turned to the bench after Bill Belichick ordered a field goal and said, no, one more, I got it, what would Bill do?
F off,
shut
get
up.
Over here.
Tell you to go F yourself.
Yeah, right.
Shut up and get over to the bench. We're kicking the three. Bill wouldn't give Brady the chance to call that shot. So maybe I have to take that back. I mean, I don't know, but maybe that's endemic of the whole thing, or it's emblematic of the whole thing. He's just giving the players too much control there, and you can't trust the players.
No excuse for that play, given the talent on that team, the experience on that team. And, you know, again, I'm factoring in the fact that they've been to four straight AFC title games.
So
It's a huge gag.
It's that play, but then it's the second half. Cincinnati isn't even that good defensively. And I don't mean to tell you that they suck, but there's no indication that they could shut down a team like the Chiefs. The Cincinnati ranked 18th in the league on defense. That's based on yards. They ranked 17th in the league in points allowed. So whether it's yards or points, they were below average on defense in the regular season. Against the pass, they were 26th in the league. Okay, their defensive passer rating was what, Maz?
18th.
So they are, in the regular season, they were at best average. Every measure that I can come up with, they were below average.
They went with offense. They went with the quarterback.
Their defense was just another swaggy NFL defense. So I'm not saying that they have the, you know, there's a lot of bad defenses in the league. There's probably only a handful of good ones. But the Bengals aren't in that group. The Bengals aren't in that group. And you get three lousy points in the second half. That's what they had, right? 3 points, the Chiefs?
Yep.
Three effing points against just another run-of-the-mill bad NFL defense at home with a chance to go to the Super Bowl? Oh, please. You got to be kidding me.
No, pathetic. Again, up 21-3, and as you pointed out, it got to 21-10 before the sequence at the end of the half. Then they had the ball to start the third quarter and didn't score. So on the back-to-back possessions, they got 0 points out of it, including having the ball at the five-yard line or whatever the hell it was at the end of the half. Then they had the ball down by the goal line again at the end of regulation, went backwards, only got 3 out of it.
And they almost didn't get those 3. Patrick Mahomes dances around, takes a sack, puts the ball on the ground. Joe Tooney saves him in that situation. But, no, I mean, talk about, again, if I'm a Chiefs fan or I'm the Chiefs, that is a foundational kind of, that is a...
That one cuts deep.
That is a deep cut, foundation-shaking kind of defeat. As I said earlier, they've been to 4 straight conference title games, 2 Super Bowls in the 4 years. Their losses to this point, I wouldn't lose sleep over. The first conference title game loss was at home to Brady, where the Patriots won the coin flip in overtime and went down the field. What are you going to do? The Super Bowl loss was, again, to Brady and the Buccaneers, who, let's face it, had a better team than Kansas City last year. Big mismatch with the Kansas City offensive line being all banged up and the Buccaneers defense going hot. So, okay, your 2 losses previously were to Brady. 1 with the help of a coin flip. The other with the help of a great defense against an overmatched offensive line. All right, fine. Now you're home against the Bengals, who don't even have a good defense, and you can only get 3 points in the second half, and you leave points on the board at the end of the second, and you lose that ball game. Ooh.
Implosion.
That one's going to leave a mark.
And I've thought a lot of Mahomes. I know people around here hate him because, you know, everyone sucks if it's not your guy. But that second half... That kind of shook me. Like, I've never seen him that messed up. Like, that was in a game of that magnitude. Like, he was a mess, and it was all him, really. Their offensive line's better than it was last year in that Super Bowl.
Yikes. All right, so there's your reset on the Chiefs and the Bengals. Bob in Fitchburg. Go ahead, Bob.
Yes. You hear about Tyreek Hill saying, oh, we're not just going to win 4 or 5. We're going to end up winning 7 Super Bowls.
Yeah, I didn't hear him say that, Bob. Next time, call us on a actual telephone and not in the crapper.
On a walkie-talkie.
I was going to say that he had a string attached to a soup can.
Did he say Tyreek Hill said we're going to win 7?
I guess.
Whatever. Let's just pretend that that's accurate because it feels like the Chiefs.
Oh, it does.
Just getting way ahead of themselves.
Yes, this is the problem with that team. Again, they know how good they are, which is part of the problem. They get lazy. They lose focus. They lack discipline. That play at the end of the half was so revealing.
And what was that dust-up that he and, was it Mecole Hardman
yes.
he had on the sideline? Like, what the hell?
Well, I guess apparently, again, according to the CBS crew, so who knows?
Right.
Because they're sniffing glue up in the booth. But apparently, Mecole Hardman was complaining about I'm open or you want to get me the ball, and it was Tyreek Hill being the one to calm him down. You know you're in deep, deep trouble when Tyreek Hill is the calm down guy on the sideline or the voice of reason. No, the team's a mess, like most of Andy Reid's teams have been. Vic in Virginia. Go ahead, Vic.
Hey, guys. I just want to make 2 quick things. I think McDaniels saw the writing on the wall with Bill's focus as his kid's son, or his son. And then... Do you think the holdup on Brady's retirement is he talking to Josh? Gronk and Brady in Vegas?
No, so like if one wants to draw that parallel, I'd be surprised.
No shot.
I mean, I don't think so. But I hope. I think it'd be great. I'd love it. But that feels too fanciful to me. The whole thing about McDaniels and Ziegler reading the writing on the wall here, though, that to me is significant. You know, we talked last hour about Patricia gaining Belichick's ear or the Kraft's ear or clearly being in a position of power or a transitional guy here in wait. And did McDaniels and Ziegler get a whiff of that and say, well, the future isn't here, so let's get out while we can? Could it also be Belichick's kids, the whole thing? It's like...
Yeah, too many kids, too many Bobos, we're out.
We don't stand a chance. We all know where Bill's leaning and... where the whole thing's headed, so let's get out. I mean, it's possible.
Absolutely. You know, and as you're saying this, like, is there any chance that Bill got an extension?
Again, Baz, I have no idea.
That wrist of yours buzzed during the last commercial break, too?
Like, I have no clue. How would I possibly know anything about that?
I'm just saying. it would stand a reason that they thought Bill was going to be done at one point, and Bill's going to be there longer than they thought.
Yeah.
And so they said, I'm getting the hell out.
Yes, that's entirely possible. Zoe was talking today about they see how Bill is rejuvenated and has a newfound energy. I like your thing much better. No, he actually signed a new contract, so he ain't going anywhere.
Yes, I'm willing to bet it's something like that.
He's unbelievable, Murray.
With the smile on his face,
it's just
too.
It's so just smiling because you guys always think
it's
that
so
I like.
So obvious.
But right. Just because I'm wearing my watch today.
But how would you come up with that?
Bill signed
a new logical.
Contract?
It's logical. If you were talking about it earlier, because I do actually do some thinking from time to time. It doesn't just come out of my mouth without the wheels actually
spinning.
Well,
that's your mistake, pal.
It's got to come out the other hole.
Yeah. So look, I just, as we talk about it, the Crafts clearly made an effort to keep both Ziegler and McDaniels in the past.
And now they didn't. What changed?
Maybe they did, and those guys said, no, Bill. Or maybe they made an effort to keep Bill this time, and they said, I'm out of here. We're gone.
Yeah, something like that. Yes, Jimmy, is there anything you just want to chirp in real quick? Before
I'm asking because a few weeks ago I asked Bill's contract status, and now apparently Maz or Zoe or somebody says that he signed a new contract.
See, I think Maz and Stu are in cahoots.
Yep.
That's what it is.
It's now a collaborative effort.
It's fine.
I'm in cahoots with nobody.
Buzzing phone, buzzing watch.
Whatever it takes. Mark and Newton. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, so since Maz is doing some thinking, you got to do me a kindness, dude. You got to explain something to me. In one of the first segments of the show, you said that Jimmy doesn't fit Shanahan's system. I get all that. But then you went off to say, you got to build around Jimmy. And where in the Rorschach test that is his caca-stained underwear, do you look at that guy? When he doesn't have a boo-boo, he's making caca. And you say, you know, if we didn't build around him, we might really be onto something here. You know? That is asinine.
Okay, there's no need. There's no need to make fun of the voice.
That's okay.
But Mark, you raise a good point. If I said this, I would like to retract it. No one should be building around Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay, what I said is Jimmy Garoppolo wants an offense that is built around him, like every quarterback. This is what I meant to say. It probably came out the way the caller's saying it, because nothing ever comes out the way I intended it. Jimmy Garoppolo wants to throw the ball like any quarterback wants to throw it. Does Kyle Shanahan have a passing offense? What is their passing offense? They don't have it. And that thing went backwards from the very beginning with the two of them, I think.
So you're holding out hope there's going to be a rejuvenated
Garoppolo. No, I think he's ruined, Murray.
I think the mechanics, like someone's got to get him back on the balls of his feet. The freaking throwing on his heels, flat-footed, that came up after the ACL. I thought, I was hoping that was just a response to the ACL. It takes a while, but it's now 2 years after that knee injury, and he's still just sitting there flat-footed. And he used to bounce around nicely on the balls of his feet here. You know where I'm afraid he's headed and where I think he's going to go now that I think about it?
Oh, go.
The Packers.
Oh.
He knows the system. I mean, that's the offense. It's the McVay offense. It's the Shanahan, McVay, LaFleur offense. It's the same crap. And it doesn't he didn't have to learn anything new. He could step in and go 1-1A with Jordan Love. And, like, I feel like that's my future. But that's my problem, not yours. Back to your phones right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Beyond.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're going to go jumbo again, Tim. They did this a lot when we were here 3 weeks ago with Joe Noteboom and Coleman Shelton. Noteboom is down with a chest and pec injury, so they're going to use Coleman Shelton, a former 49er and Titan and Panther, as an extra lineman.
Yeah, and they like to get in this and then throw out of it, and clearly they're missing Tyler Higbee at tight end.
There's a play action to Akers. Stafford back. Gets in as he throws deep downfield for Van Jefferson. And the ball should have been intercepted. It was dropped. Jaquaski Tart had the interception on the 49er 32-yard line, and he dropped the ball.
And he is sick about it. He's laying on the field, head down. He played that the whole way. That is classic center field play. Jaworski Tarczyk coming the whole way. Emmanuel Moseley in a trail position. The ball is underthrown, and Tart flat out drops it. It couldn't have hit him any better than it did, right in the V of the neck. Double clutches, it drops the rock.
We all saw that play. You know, two jumping off points there is one, as bad as Garoppolo was there at the end, the safety catches that ball, he might be going to the Super Bowl again.
Definitely.
Not definitely. The Niners were up three. There was just under 10 minutes left. And
is that much time left, huh?
Yeah, there was like 9.
I thought it was less than that.
9:55.
What a horrible throw.
And if the kid catches it, he's at his like 32, 35-yard line. Maybe he returns it a little bit. Who knows? So call it near midfield. The Niners would have had to do a little something to get into field goal range. And then there's 6 minutes left. So they're up six with how much time left? I mean, who knows? You know, there's still game to be played. It wasn't over, but certainly the win probability, whatever, would have gone way up for San Francisco if he catches that ball. But the other side of that coin is Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford. Murray has a theory on, what did he call? Hold on, I want to get it right here. This is the, with the term, are you familiar with the term time is a flat circle?
I am now because Murray introduced it this morning.
Murray, why don't you explain what you mean by time is a flat circle and how it relates to the NFC Championship game?
It's courtesy of the German philosopher Nietzsche, but most people know it from the TV show True Detective, the first season, where Matthew McConaughey plays his character. He talks about how time is a flat circle. But what it really means is patterns get repeated. What has happened before will happen again. We're doomed to repeat our mistakes. And the reason I bring this up is because that fourth quarter performance by Jimmy Garoppolo, I saw before, you've seen before, almost to a T. Super Bowl 54 against the Chiefs, fourth quarter. Here's his numbers. 3-for-11, 36 yards, interception, fourth down sack ices the game. Last night, fourth quarter, 3-of-9, 30 yards, interception to ice the game. It's only a difference of like a few yards. It was the same performance. Fourth quarter, up 10 points. Nobody craps their pants in a big game of this magnitude, up 10, like Jimmy Garoppolo. Time is a flat circle. It was the same thing.
Wait 1 minute. You said nobody? Nobody craps their pants like Garoppolo, Murray?
Well, that coach of his.
Hold on. I'm not done yet. 2016. Against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, Kyle Shanahan, offensive coordinator, Atlanta Falcons, outscored 19-0. 2019, San Francisco 49ers against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, Kyle Shanahan, head coach, outscored 21-0. Yesterday, against the Rams, Kyle Shanahan, head coach, San Francisco, outscored 13-0. Combined score in the fourth quarter of those three games, 53-0. 53-0 in the fourth quarters of those games. You know what? Take your flat circle and shove it, Murray.
They're both.
Your flat circle is Kyle Shanahan. It's not Garoppolo.
Maz, they're both a lethal combination.
Okay, Garoppolo's is more like three quarters of a circle. He's not quite all the way there yet.
As I said earlier, they bring out the worst in each other.
Oh, they really do, though. They're a horrible match, those two.
Did you see the one that, again, so just like the game in Green Bay, this one last night, there was picks that should have happened. There was one he put right on Jalen Ramsey.
Right in Jalen Ramsey's breastplate of his shoulder pad, right on him. He easily could have had three or four interceptions.
Okay, this is really my only point with Garoppolo, okay? Because he sucks right now. He does. I thought the game in Green Bay is one of the worst games I've ever seen. I told you that. The only game I've seen that was worse was Kyler Murray when he played the Rams. I thought he literally crapped his pants on the field. Okay? It was that bad. Would Garoppolo have been the same player if he stayed here with Bill?
I like to think not.
No way.
Kept him on the balls of his feet. Anyway, as Murray writes, after the Garoppolo time is a flat circle thing, what makes it so annoying is what? He says is that football Ryan Seacrest on the other sideline did his best to pee away his timeouts in the second half and treat them like their first round draft picks. The football Ryan Seacrest is who?
That'd be Sean McVay.
Okay, what's your problem with him?
I think he's a bit overrated. I think he gets too into his own playbook. There was one, the game, the drive that tied it for the Rams. When Stafford was walking off the field, it was like a little short dump off pass. I think it was to Sony Michel. You saw McVay like point at it and say, "Hey, that's me." It was a terrible play call. Just keep going with the cup, you idiots. That guy's like the MVP of the league. Or Van Jefferson. He's good. Are you trying to run the ball a little bit more with Sony Michel or Cam Akers got banged up in this game? He overthinks things, and how he treated those timeouts in the second half, willy-nilly throwing those dumb challenges. Where's someone else in your ear to save you from yourself? I just think he gets in his own way.
I think the problem there is the quarterback. I'm the opposite. In San Francisco, to me, the coach is as big a problem as the quarterback is. And with the Rams, it's the quarterback more than the coach.
So like Shanahan, he doesn't trust his quarterback enough. You saw this in the prior week against Tampa.
Murray. Stafford's a loser.
Murray, what do you think of Jared Goff?
Oh, robot.
Complete bum.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think of Matthew Stafford?
Better than Goff.
No, what do you really think of Matthew Stafford?
Loser.
Oh. Yeah, he's a loser.
Okay, so with those two quarterbacks, McVay has gone to two Super Bowls and made the playoffs 4 out of 5 years. 11-5, 13-3, 9-7, 10-6, 12-5, with two guys you think can't tie their own shoes at the position.
That is correct. He's one of the better coaches in the league. I think he's also kind of overrated. Both things can be true.
I guess. I mean,
and his aesthetic look bothers me. That's okay, why I called him football Ryan Seacrest and his dumb tight pants.
Let's get down to it. It's his dumb tight pants.
Yeah, that's part of it. That's a lot of it. Yep.
I'm telling you, the whole youth coaches association or whatever the hell you want to call it, LaFleur, McVay, even this clown in Cincinnati, he's sort of the same apple.
Hardo circle session.
What's the name in Arizona, Mass? Can you say it this time?
Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah. Murray, but he's not part of that school.
I keep wanting to say Kingsbury.
No, it's the Shanahan, McVay, LaFleur. Like, that's the group.
Kingsbury's one of them, too.
But he's not from that school.
I know, but it's the same look.
But he's a young, pretty boy coach.
Yeah, right? Tight pants, the whole nine yards.
Murray writes, I hate this Rams team. And don't lump me into the baby Patriots fans about the spending either. It's got nothing to do with that. I hate the coach and his tight pants. I hate the quarterback who's still a loser deep down. I hate Odell Beckham because he's Odell Beckham. I hate Cooper Kupp because he's so effing unstoppable and legitimately should get MVP votes. I hate the greasy owner with his bad toupee. And I definitely hate the fake crowd noise that's being pumped into that place and their obnoxious PA announcer. The crowd noise is so fake, it's not even funny.
Thank you. And I heard, thankfully, Beetle backing me up on this, too.
It was obvious like 3 weeks ago. It was obvious.
Oh, right. What was that game?
I think it was the last Rams game. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I don't know. There was one game that I was watching a month ago. I was like, this is so fake. It's ridiculous.
Oh, no. They do it for the Chargers, too. It was the Chargers-Kansas City game that we were talking about this.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, it's obnoxious. The PA guy screaming the whole time when they're coming up to the line and about to snap the ball. Shut up. And then, well after the game is over, like 25, 30 minutes of talking about it, they hand off the trophies. It still sounds like it's a big third down.
Again,
it's so fake.
I like the Rams for my longstanding obsession with the lie that is the NFL salary cap and how the Patriots turn their noses up and really try and undermine other teams for being aggressive in spending money, saying it's stupid, they'll end up in cap jail, you can't have sustained success that way. The Rams prove that's just not true. If you don't want to spend money, just say you don't want to spend money. That's fine. It's a business. Who wants to waste money? Even if you have a lot, no one wants to waste it. I can wrap my head around that. But to say that the Rams are somehow stupid because they spend or trade draft picks, well, I wish I was that stupid. Because when you played them in the Super Bowl in 2018, you told me they're stupid, they spend too much, it's not going to last, they were dumb to give Goff that contract. Here we are 4 years later, you suck and they're back in the Super Bowl. So you tell me. And they never had a dip. They went to 9-7 and missed the playoffs by a game in 2019. That constitutes their dip. As opposed to you, again, 7-9 and 1-done this year. Whatever. They've been good the entire time.
And as an emailer correctly pointed out, too, the McVay tree, even though I've dumped on McVay, already greater than Belichick tree because someone from that tree already in the Super Bowl, and that's Zach Taylor.
Oh, yeah. It's not even close. Zach Taylor, Matt LaFleur, Shanahan. Not that it started with McVay. It started with Shanahan.
That's true, yeah.
It's Shanahan, McVay, LaFleur, Taylor. I think there's another one out there, too.
Oh, so you mean one of them's actually going to win the Super Bowl this year?
Yeah.
Oh, that blows.
Okay. So
I was hoping they'd all be losers.
Anyway, remember, folks, time is a flat circle. Here's the update right back to your phones after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Belger and Maz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Joe Burrow will never win a championship as long as he's with the Bengals. Mark it down. They will ruin him. They've already ruined him.
And now the Bengals will turn to their rookie kicker, Evan McPherson.
And the operation has been outstanding for the Cincinnati Bengals for a long time with Clark Harris and Kevin Huber. Rookie kicker Evan McPherson feels very fortunate to have that operation in place for as long as they... Both those guys have gone to the Pro Bowl. I mean, Clark Harris and Kevin Huber have been Pro Bowl participants. Evan McPherson could send him to the Super Bowl.
4 years ago, he was a senior in high school in tiny Fort Payne, Alabama. Now the Bengals' Super Bowl chances rest on his right foot. The kick is up.
Yeah.
It is good! Coffin nails!
Bam! 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 That is unbelievable. The Cincinnati Bengals come from behind on the road. Unbelievable, Dan.
It is no fluke. It is a fact. The Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Super Bowl 56.
So we do have stakes in this game coming up, and the stakes are these. If you think you're ever getting a hard opinion out of me again, if the Bengals lose this game, you've got another thing coming. That will be it. That will officially put the end to that. Done my best to ride the fence. Certainly the Bruins commercial several years ago left a mark. It's obvious. Sort of changed my approach after that. Became gun shy. Just picture Pat Mahomes in the second half after blowing that situation down by the goal line. That was me and my takes.
Big time.
After that Bruins commercial, they got to me. No doubt about it. I freely admit it. So I go out on a limb here. I tell you what I think of the Bengals and what a trash organization they are. Garbage organization. Cheapskate. Do-nothing owners. We're just born the worst of the worst. And they will ultimately ruin Joe Burrow, and he will never win a championship as long as he's a member of the Cincinnati Bengals. I said that last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago, whenever. And now here they are, one game away from that blowing up in whatever, 30 seconds later. They will ruin him. They've already ruined him. So that one I may have to take back already. I don't know if they've already ruined him. That was coming off of the 9-sack game, okay? So he's coming off an ACL tear. He gets sacked 9 times in that game in Tennessee. How much was he sacked in this game here?
Once.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, not much.
Just once.
So I don't know if I blame Kansas City for that, or did the Bengals get smart overnight? I don't know. Joe Burrow will never win a championship as long as he's with the Bengals. I stand by it. Mark it down.
Mark it down.
Mark it down.
Oh, boy. That means if that blows up, though, it's facilitation forever, though.
And if they win, I'm done. I'm officially out of the take game. Pure, you think I facilitate now. You'll see. You've seen nothing. You have seen nothing like it. What's coming your way?
This is a good run.
So that'll teach me to open my mouth.
Other than that,
it'll just simply be your thoughts, Murray. And Maz, what do you think? And to your phones. And that'll be it. Until we go off the air.
Sounds
they will ruin
me.
Him.
That's the
They've already ruined him.
That's
the last time I ever say anything. But Cincinnati better win this year because they ain't getting back. They will ruin him. Mark it down. Thank you.
I do like the kid.
I told you, though, in the email, you shouldn't be the only one dreading the thought of the Bengals winning.
Because yeah, so tell me this take. Yeah, this I like.
Yeah, so if Burrow wins, it's real bad for every excuse-making fan base out there with a quarterback that you defend until you're, like, red in the face. Your Mac Jones mafia locally, your Daniel Jones truthers in New York that are Giants fans. Because if Burrow wins, what happens is he kills excuses. Well, my quarterback needs more time. What's he supposed to do? Look at that offensive line. That offensive line's so bad. He needs better coaches. If he wins the Super Bowl in his second year with a torn up knee behind that god-awful offensive line that, again, gives up the 9 sacks against Tennessee a couple of weeks ago, and with that coach and that franchise, he's like
That doesn't happen. There's no more excuses. It's simply about the quarterback. They drafted him correctly. He did what you keep making excuses for all your guys. So Cowboys fans with Dak, Ravens fans with Lamar Jackson, Patriots fans here. What the hell excuses do you have? He kills excuses if Joe Burrow and the Bengals of all teams win the Super Bowl in 2 weeks.
Can you imagine if Cincinnati actually wins this thing? I mean, Murray's right in a lot of ways. But beyond that, just the sheer story of it. The Cincinnati effing Bengals.
But it just shows you how the quarterback, and not just his physical ability, because I think Joe Burrow has injected that team with attitude.
Aura.
You know, it's like they've clearly taken on the DNA of their cocky, confident, you know, Joe Cool quarterback. And he's changed the whole thing. He's changed the whole DNA of the team.
It's unbelievable. It really is. He's an Iceman.
So that shows you it's not just the prolific passer coming in and them throwing the ball over the place. No, it's the way he carries himself and probably the way he carries himself in the locker room.
Definitely.
I told you this off the air. I saw this clip on ESPN today. He was wearing some sort of gaudy pennant last night after the game. This really bejeweled, I don't even know how to describe it.
Oh, it's huge. Oh, just yeah. Massive,
big
like,
pendant. Diamond encrusted. Yeah.
Diamond encrusted pendant, like just this gaudy jewelry. And he was asked in the press conference if it was real. And he said, I make too much money for this to be fake. And that was his line, you know? And it's like, wow, dude.
Oh, no, he puts it out there.
Seriously.
He does, man. He unzips it, lets it fly.
But it's like, from the Patriots' perspective, when you line these guys up, it's like, you're not close to Josh Allen, who just lost to the Chiefs, who just lost to Burrow and the Bengals. So where are you? You know, if you are miles behind Josh Allen, that means you're miles and miles plus one behind the Chiefs, which means you're miles and miles behind the Bengals plus one. Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean?
Of course.
So, like, that's, I see what Murray's talking about there.
Oh, the Bengals beat Tennessee and Kansas City back-to-back. Josh Allen's probably kicking himself after they lost that game in the coin toss. Like, that whole thing. But again, if you're the Patriots, again, capital P, port.
Okay. Spell it out again, Maz.
P-O-R-K-E-D, capital P.
But I'm telling you, that game, so as much as we say about Burrow and what's coming your way with the Bengals, the game yesterday was about the Chiefs. That game was about the Chiefs. This is their time. This is their time. This is the equivalent of the Patriots in 2003, 2004, whatever it is, at the height of their powers, at home, chance to go to the Super Bowl. You have an inferior opponent in front of you, and I'm sorry, the Bengals are still on paper inferior to the Chiefs. Certainly the Chiefs have the better quarterback, the more experienced coach. They have more on offense, and certainly Ja'Marr Chase is a brilliant, brilliant player, but Tyreek Hill is a brilliant, brilliant player. Never mind Kelsey and the rest. They're at home. They're up 21-3. The Chiefs even have a better defense. The Bengals have a middle of the road, probably just below middle of the road defense, if you look at the regular season production. And you have them 21-3 at home to go back to the Super Bowl, and you blow it. That game yesterday was about the Chiefs.
There's no question it was about the Chiefs.
It just was. All right, long commercial segment, I promise. To your phones immediately right after these words from our sponsor.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
Back in your face, suck it!
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's third down and 13.
Well, here we go again. You got it where you wanted. Play great coverage. Know that they're going to try to get the ball to Kittle up the seam. Here it comes.
Snap back to Garoppolo. Pocket crumbling. He spins out. He's hit. He's wrapped up. He flips it forward. It's tipped. It's intercepted. It's intercepted. It's intercepted. Aaron Donald got pressure on Garoppolo. And Traven Howard clinches the NFC Championship game. With 1:09 remaining at SoFi Stadium, San Francisco is heading home. The Rams are staying home to play in Super Bowl 56. What did we just witness?
Meanwhile, unfortunately for Jimmy Garoppolo, I wonder if that final interception will be a defining play of his career.
Oh, it will be. I mean, how do you live that one down? That was horrendous. Talk about an unsightly play.
I mean, unsightly. And the video is just too good not to play. You bring up Jimmy Garoppolo, you're going to play that video. If you're a producer on a TV station, that's the clip. You just play that. It's just too horrific. It's too graphic.
All those years mocking him. Here I was pulling for him, and I was like, oh no. Like, I actually felt bad. I really did. That was so horrible.
I mean, a lot of people were kind of pulling for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the underdog there.
What's the biggest play he's ever made in a postseason game? I can't think of one.
Right, I don't know.
I'm not joking. I can't think of one. I mean, maybe the throw to Kittle.
I was
going
to say the touchdown to Kittle, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, but other than that, it doesn't exist. He missed one in the Super Bowl. I remember that. I mean, he's going to go down as a gag artist.
All right, I promise, back to your phones. Mary in Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. Hi, guys. So I'm with you guys because I'm not ready for Brady to retire. Nothing ever quite goes the way I want to with Brady. I wanted him to retire Patriot, but then, you know, I was happy that he was going to continue to play even if it was with Tampa. And I was prepared for him to play this last year because he said he wanted to play till he was 45. So I thought, okay, we're going to see Brady for the last year. And now I feel like the rug's been pulled out from under me. But what I think the reason is that he's not going to play next year is something that Chris Gasper alluded to last week. I think he said something to the effect that the Brady camp was saying that they were hoping that Brady's not going to be sacked 19 times in that game with the Rams. So I think that if they're not going to be able to protect him, if Tampa doesn't have the players and not going to, you know, bring a lot of these players back or hire other new ones or, you know, draft other new ones to protect him, I think they're thinking, you know what, we don't want Brady in his final year to get some devastating injury right before he retires.
Sure. I mean, just file under, next year's not going to be all that fun anyway. The team's going to retool, to be transitioned. I don't really like the coach. Can they protect me? My wife is freaking in my ear. So fine, that's it. You know, like something along those lines. But these guys were wondering, Maz and Stu, was he trying to leverage the team to get out and get to a better situation where he would like the coach or be better protected or have a better chance? And get one more year out of it that way, and the Bucs weren't playing ball, so he said, fine, I quit.
Yeah, I just don't think Tom Brady went into this year saying I'm done at the end of the year. So what happened along the way to change his mind?
Ryan and Malden, go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, hey, how's it going, guys? Can the NFL please do something about Drew Brees and Romo? I mean, you got Romo up in the box, sniffing paint, playing in a Rubik's Cube, and doing what Jim Nance should be doing.
Right.
And then Drew Brees, all you got Drew Brees, he says, big game, big plays. Big game, big plays. Well, guess what? Any one of us can do a better job than him. I'm sorry, what?
No, Ryan, any cardboard cutout. You could put any cardboard cutout on the desk and do what Drew Brees has done. Just recite the most obvious point that anyone could come up with and just plop them there.
He's a stiff, but Romo sounds like he's taken acid before these games now.
Just put anyone there in a well-fitting suit, and you could do what Drew Brees does. Romo, I mean, talk about guy as someone who needs coaching or just someone to sit him down and say, this is not why we brought you here. You nailed your audition and were an excellent analyst for the first couple of years because you broke down the plays. And you knew what was happening on the field because you played it and you brought that to the audience. In the first couple of years, Romo was excellent. He might have been too much. Like, he may have been too much of a know-it-all. But remember when he first started?
Those breakdowns were great.
He was predicting plays.
I mean, he gave you the plays. He saw who was in motion, how the defense was aligned, and said, here's what's coming. That's your job. Not all this happy horse crap.
I mean, he was declaring the Bengals winners of the game before the kick even took place.
Ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
He's lost his mind, and no one's there to put him back on track. Thankfully, the broadcast this year is NBC, so you will get some Drew Brees, I guess, but it's Collinsworth, who I think is the best.
Do you think the teams complained about Romo that he was, like, giving too much information?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, it's possible.
You risk just buzz with that, too?
It's possible. Tyler and Falmouth.
I got to put my watch in my pants today, Murray.
Jesus.
Get a little enjoyment out of it.
You know, I mean, if you want to avoid this, Maz, just say, instead of asking the question, like, you ask that question, instead of just say, You know, I heard some of the teams were agitated that he was calling out the plays.
I'm going to put my watch in my shorts.
No, just say it.
Let it buzz down there.
Don't be so passive aggressive about it with the question. Like, why are you asking me a question when you know the answer?
It's always in the form of a question.
It is. It's always in the form of a question.
Woo, it's tingling down there.
What if the Buccaneers just didn't want to let... No, no. Why don't you just say, I heard the Buccaneers may not have been playing ball with him contractually. And then we don't have to go through all this every time.
Tomorrow, I'm going to drop it in the back of my pants.
Tomorrow, you just say, I heard the teams are complaining about him calling out plays, so he had to change his act. And we're not in this circle. This time is a flat circle of playing this game every time. You have
it's
information.
It's not that flat a circle. You can always get a boob job.
Tyler, yes.
I like your facilitation skills.
Tyler in Falmouth, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Patriots offensive coordinator, right? So we better hope it's Bill O'Brien, because the other options are probably Chad O'Shea and Joe Judge. Right, Matt Patricia, even worse. That is the worst-case scenario, because that fat slob is in a position right now that he could be either offensive coordinator or the personnel side. So we just better hope it's Bill O'Brien, so we don't have to deal with Judge or O'Shea or any of these other guys, especially not Matt Patricia.
Agreed. I'm scared. O'Brien just feels too obvious.
Yeah.
It feels so obvious that it probably won't happen, because it just doesn't work that way usually. And so then what are you left with?
Mick Lombardi.
Oh, God, please, no. What was that? One of the names I saw out there was Chad O'Shea, right?
Well, so Mick Lombardi's a quarterback coach. This Kaylee's the tight ends coach. Joe Judge worked with the receivers before he left. And then where is O'Shea right now? Was he in Miami?
No, he was fired, though.
Yeah, he was fired there, and he went somewhere else. I don't remember where it is.
So, I mean,
I got to look it up.
They're not going to change the playbook. They're not going to change the terminology. They're not going to change the play. You know, like, all that's going to stay the same. So it best be someone from within the system. It's not like they're going to go out and hire a West Coast, you know, offensive coordinator, one of these McVay, Shanahan guys, and change the whole. No, it's going to be someone within the Belichick family and the old Charlie Weiss offense, like whatever the derivative is now. That's who it's going to be.
O'Shea's with Cleveland now.
So, and what's his, is he an offensive coordinator?
Passing game coordinator and wide receivers coach. Yeah.
So, okay, you can offer him a promotion, which means some money anyway. I mean, it just better be someone from the family. I just do hope it's for someone from outside the building, because nothing inside right now would appeal to me.
Adam Gase.
Which,
oh, God.
I mean, that feels horrible. I'd rather have him than Mick Lombardi. Mike and Methuen. Go ahead, Mike. I said Mike and Methuen, you're up next, please. Okay, call us back. You know the number. Sorry, I had you on hold there for quite a bit. How about Alan North Adams? Hi, Al.
Hey. The reference that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win 7 Super Bowls, I don't know if you saw the interview with Charlie Weiss, and he said that you know, there's too many young, good quarterbacks in this era than there was in, Brady's era.
Sure.
So I just wanted your comment. So what do you think about that?
So the competition's tougher now than it was back then? I disagree. I mean, there's more good quarterbacks, but there's also more bad teams and a lot more bad coaches.
It's a lot easier to be a quarterback nowadays, too.
Brady had all-timers in his way.
I don't think that's why they don't get to 7, because you only get to 7 if you have this laser focus and dedication and work ethic and those things, those sort of cheesy, you know, things that you hear from your coach and your whatever, your life code, whatever, all that stuff. But it's true. Like, that's how you get to 6. That's how you get to 7, is that you're maniacal and dedicated and hardworking and focused and disciplined. Anyone can win 1 or 2, just throwing it out there on pure talent like that. The Chiefs have already done. Now, to be a habitual champion, it takes those other things, and I don't know if Andy Reid can get him there.
Yeah, because the repeating part is the hard part. Once you do it, you feel like, okay, what's next? And so if the task doesn't change, you get bored. Like, that type of discipline is hard.
Okay, final hour of your phone calls. Just a ton to get to. Tom Brady's pending retirement, the departures of Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, and the NFL action over the weekend, and again, the choking dogs that are the Kansas City Chiefs. All to it after Murray gets you updated. No commercials, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.